What a statement. That God sees me in the same full righteousness as Jesus. And if you're his kids, if you've confessed him as Lord, he sees you in the same righteousness as Jesus. Like, isn't that just the most ridiculous statement? Like, that as he looks at you, he sees his son. He sees his son's righteousness. He sees his son's victory. It's just beautiful. So I know this would be hard to believe, but I wasn't actually meant to preach this morning. So someone else was supposed to preach this morning. Luckily, this person told me on Wednesday evening already, so I have had time to prep. I'm not going to tell you who it is. But yeah, so I preached last week as well. So last week we looked at the fruits of the Spirit. And we specifically looked at how, as humans, we're actually being created to produce fruits after our own kind. So when God created the earth, he created plants and trees, and he says these plants and trees will produce fruits after their own kind. And as humans, we also produce fruit, but we produce fruit after our own kind. But the beautiful thing that happened at the cross, at the point of salvation, is our kind was changed. We were transformed, or we were transferred from the kingdom of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. And actually, at that point, God gave us a fresh start. The old man that we were up until that point died. He was buried in the grave with Jesus Christ. And then we rose up as new men and women in the DNA and the likeness of Jesus. And so our kind was changed. So the fruit that we are now producing looks more and more like Jesus as we are being transformed into the image of God. As this sanctification is happening inside of us, we are going from old man into more and more looking like Jesus. And that's what the fruits of the Spirit are. They're the characteristics of Jesus. But I also showed that this isn't something we do. When we came to that point of realizing that we needed a Savior, we came under his victory. We came under this need where I can't do it on my own. The only way I can live and produce fruit after this new kind is coming under his lordship, being fully submitted to him. And so the way that we produce fruit after our new kind is by us spending time with him, by surrendering to him, by realizing that he knows better than we do, doing it his way rather than our way, laying down the things that we want to do sometimes, running away from sin, because he knows better than we know. And I read a scripture that I actually just want to read again because it's just so beautiful. So John 15, verse 4-5. It says, "Remain in me and I'll remain in you." I just love that. Like, it's not just remain in me. It's not just the effort is all yours. He's going, if you cling to me, I will cling to you. So remain in me and I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What a powerful scripture. It's just incredible, and it's so complete. It's not going, apart from me, you can do some things. Remember, it's this new kind. So, apart from God, yeah, you can do your job, you can do all these different things. But we call to produce fruit after our new kind, and according to our new kind, we cannot do it without him. We can only produce fruit after our new kind with him, dependent on him working through us. But as I was preaching last week, I made a comment that has stuck in my head this whole week. And it's not groundbreaking at all. If anything, it's embarrassingly obvious. And the comment was this: during the holidays, we have more time to spend with God. That was the comment. And it wasn't part of my notes. It just came out of my mouth. But as it came out of my mouth, it stung a little bit. Because on the one hand, it's obvious. If you are not working, you've got more time to spend with God, because you've got more time to do other things too. But the reason why it stung a little bit is it true? So practically it's true, but outworkingly, is it true? As we hit the holidays, do we spend more time with God or don't we? And if I'm honest, if I'm looking over years and years of my life, the reality is when holidays hit, I tend to spend less time with God, not more, even though I've got more time to spend with Him. And there's a practical reason for this. So there's a saying that says, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. Have you guys heard that saying? So essentially what that saying is, if someone is really busy, they're going to know how to get the stuff they're already doing done. And so if you give them something else, they're going to put it into their routine and they're going to get it done for you. And so normally we are very busy. Modern life is unbelievably busy. And so normally we live within a routine. So the Mercer morning routine during school terms looks like this. Gabs wakes up at 5 o'clock. She goes through to her little room and she spends time with God. She's more holy than me, so my alarm goes off at 5:30. And at that point, I go downstairs, I feed the cat and the dog, and then I spend time with God. Gabs at that point jumps in the shower. Once she's finished, I finish up my quiet time and I go and I jump in the shower. And then around kind of 10 past 6, the family magically all appear in the kitchen and we have breakfast together. Gabs and I then spend time praying together while the kids start getting ready for the day. At 6:40, I then go upstairs and I get ready for the day. Gabs quickly makes the kids lunch boxes, and at 7 o'clock, me and the kids leave the house so I can drop them off at school. At that point, Gabs then gets ready for the day, and I get home at about 7:20, and we both start work at 7:30. That's what our mornings look like. And you will notice that within that, Gabs is getting her personal time with God, I'm getting my personal time with God, and as a couple, we're getting time with God as well. And that routine works really well for us. But take that routine away, and that rhythm of spending with God is gone. So that routine, actually, my spending time with God is connected to a rhythm and a routine. And as soon as that routine falls away, that rhythm falls away as well. And so it's not that I don't want to spend time with God. It's not even that I need Him less during the holidays. Actually, you could probably argue that we need God more in the holidays because of all that idle time that's on our hands. But it's just this practical thing of, I forget. It sounds horrible. I get distracted. Because as soon as, I've been feeling it over the last week, I finished work on Friday, but this thing comes, as the holidays get near, I start to get this kind of this itch in me where I'm waiting for 5 o'clock on the Friday and I want to throw everything off and I want to run for the hills metaphorically and I want to hide from any sense of normality. I finally get to do those things I never get to do, which, let's be honest, is lying on the couch and doing nothing. That's the desire. The desire is to go to the beach. The desire is to eat good food. The desire is to bra and swim and spend time outside. It's not practical in any way. And so it's not that we need God less. It's actually that our understanding of rest is broken. So we hit the holidays and anything that looks normal is gone, including God. And I know that's a very extreme statement, because we do still spend time with God. We do still fit Him in, but it's less than it should be. And so I was in this rhythm for many years. And about 4 years ago, I got to a point where after the holidays, you get that kind of that back to work shame. That when you know that you're going to go back to church and see everybody, and you're probably not as close to God as you should be, because you realize that as you've been resting away from everything else, you've also been resting away from God. And I was dealing with that shame, and I was frustrated with myself, Because I tried hard that year and still gotten it wrong. And God said something to me that was so simple, but so helpful. He just said to me, my boy, you have two choices. Either you rest away from me, or you rest into me. And that picture of resting into God, it was this leaning in, almost like the picture I get of John leaning his head against Jesus at the table. It was this intimate moment of leaning into God. There was almost no intentionality attached to it other than just, I need you. And this simple thing, either we get to rest away from God, a leaning away from normality, or we get to rest in God, leaning into his comfort and into his life. Psalm 91, verse 1. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So, as part of being new creations, I already said that at the cross, there was this transformation that happened. Our kind was changed, but we were transferred from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. And as that happened, the literal prayer we pray is, come be the Lord of my life. It's a coming under someone greater. It's a submission. And so we've been in church long enough to know, like, this is kind of what we're pushing towards all the time. This is what discipleship is all about. It's full dependence on God. And if that's how we live our lives in the shelter of the Most High, we're living out under his covering, under his lordship. And it's beautiful. It produces amazing fruits and breakthrough in our lives. But there's another part that says, if you do that, you will also find rest in the shadow of the Most High. It's not that God's against rest. Actually, God rested. The very concept of rest comes from God. And so about 3 years ago, after having that conversation with God, the next big holiday that I got, I could feel the itch coming. I was getting excited. I was about to throw everything off and run away and just like hide in a little cocoon. And I went, no. Not this year. It's not gonna look that way. And so what I decided to do was I decided to put a new routine in place before my old routine was taken away. And it's super simple. I set myself a rule. So my rule is this. And my rule hasn't changed since the first year that I did it. My rule is this. I'm not allowed to pick up my phone until I've spent time with God. This thing, you never know what's waiting for you on this thing. Like, this is the most distracting little device that I have in my life. It's more distracting than my children. This is proper. And the problem is, as soon as I pick it up, I don't know what's waiting for me on it. I don't know if someone's messaged me something devastating in the night that needs my attention. I don't know if there's a news article about a war that's just broken out and then I'm going to be worried and distracted by that. I don't know if there's a funny cat video that I just have to watch in that exact moment. Like, I just don't know. I don't know if the Fafs have invited us to go have a braai at their house. Like, all these different things. Hint, we want a braai at your house. All these different things could be waiting for me on this phone, and it's unbelievably distracting. I was so extreme with myself in the first 2 years that I wasn't even allowed to unplug it. So I would have quiet times without worship music because I didn't trust myself to even go onto Spotify and push play. But the fruit. Hitting January, closer to God than when I went on leave. Coming to church with expectation for what God wants to do for the year, where he's been speaking and showing me things. And I had to be super extreme with myself at first, but already I said to Gabs, and even there's accountability between me and Gabs on this, I said, I need worship in my quiet times. I've said to Gabs, I'm going to start using my phone for worship. I've still got to be disciplined. Because this thing has notifications. So it tells me what's going on before I even open it. But it's that thing of going, I want to prioritize God. I want to spend time with God. And it's not about giving God his hour. What happens is if I start my day looking at him, I all of a sudden become God conscious. So throughout the rest of my day, I'm praying more. Throughout the rest of my day, I'm looking for opportunities. I'm speaking to Gabs about what God said to me. I'm wanting to pray with my kids at the breakfast table. It's just, it infiltrates the rest of my day. And so it's not a massive thing, but it's helped me get my priorities straight. And so I just want to actually read Psalm 91 again. But this time I want to read the first four verses. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. And as we read almost those verses with the backdrop of rest, not the backdrop of struggles, not the backdrop of everything's going wrong in my life, I'm too busy, I don't have the time for anything. If you read it with the backdrop of rest, he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust in him. For he will rescue you from every trap. I need to be saved from traps in the holidays. Idle time is dangerous. He'll protect you from every deadly disease. It's just so beautiful. He'll cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. And so as we go into the holidays this year, what I want to encourage you to do, and this isn't only for those who are getting holidays. I know there's a bunch of us who aren't getting holidays. There's some of us that are working, but all of a sudden routines still change. Even if you're working through, your life will look different over the next few weeks than it normally does. There's less traffic. It's potential that your spouse is off, half your office isn't there, your clients aren't demanding as much. Like, it's just different. So guard yourself. See it coming and going, I want to prioritize spending time with God, and this is how I'm going to do it. And your rule doesn't have to be my rule. That rule works for me because I know where my distraction lies. But it might look different for you. It might be you've got little kids. And as soon as they wake up, your day's gone. You might go, okay, cool, I'm going to actually wake up half an hour earlier and I'm going to go for a walk. I'm literally going to get out of the house. The sun comes up at like 4:30, so you've got plenty of daylight. Like, whatever it needs to look like for you, I just want to encourage you, prioritize spending time with God. Now, rather than me just sharing on this, what I thought would be really cool is to actually get some other guys to also share on resting in God. And so I've asked Carmen, Levi, and Bridget to all share just for 5 minutes, just their story, what God's kind of been showing them about rest, potentially what he's taught them. I've asked them to include some testimony in that. And then once they've shared, I will come back up and just wrap things up, and we'll see what God wants to do from there. But is Carmen here? Cool. Carmen, do you want to start? So we'll do Carmen, then Levi, and then Bridget afterwards.
I love what Brenna said so far. It's just so good. So I think something that the Lord taught me a couple of years ago, just the nature of where we were at work-wise and financially, was that we weren't able to like go on a holiday, like away somewhere nice. And I think, you know, obviously we know that the Lord's design for us is rest. God himself rested after the creation of the world. But his design is rest, but not how we say rest needs to look. And I think it's possible that just through society and what we see around us, we can create this idea that real rest means this amazing holiday, potentially somewhere really beautiful, a little bit luxe, or like whatever it is that works for you rest-wise. And although those things are really good, and I still want to go on holidays and that, it's a wrong place, I think, to place our sort of hope of rest. And I think we can kind of place our hope in those things sometimes. So vacations are the one thing, and then even my like worst is this buzzword of self-care. It's like a big thing, and it's not a bad thing. I understand that there's good things in it about taking time aside, but it's put on a bit of a pedestal, like I need a self-care day. And for like my life phase, or anyone who's a mom with little kids, like that's not going to happen. I'm not entitled to like 24 hours of uninterrupted spa day. Like that's not realistic. But it's what the world communicates to us. If it just have that thing, I'll feel rested. Also just like treating ourselves. Like it's the end of the year. I've worked really hard. I deserve to treat myself. And actually, maybe financially, that's not in the cards for you. And so we actually were blessed with this amazing holiday a couple of years ago. We went to stay at this house on Leisure Isle in Nasna, and it was like 6 days long of parking on the beach and swimming and like everything my heart desires for a holiday. It was that. And after these 6 days, I was like, so I had so much anticipation actually going on this holiday. I'm like, I am going to be a new person when I'm back from this holiday. That's sincerely how I felt about it. But I didn't prioritize time with the Lord, like Bryn was talking about. I really didn't at all. I had like moments here or there maybe, but yeah, the holiday came and went. And it was super refreshing. And I came back and I was like, man, I'm invigorated. I can take this year. And in a week, I was like, I am so stressed out. I'm so tired. I'm like, and it kind of just went back to square one. And it's because that's not the Lord's design for holiday. And so soon after that, I was reading about Paul and Silas being imprisoned. And they had been obviously like going through such a hectic time. They'd been like beaten and shipwrecked and all these things. And then eventually now find themselves in prison. And it says, obviously, that they worshipped. And just the Lord spoke to me in that moment, and he just actually said to me, do you think a self-care day would have helped them going in what they were going through? No. Self-care sounds so insipid when you think about that. So we can go through all these hectic things and place our hope in a vacation, even a Mauritius vacation for 2 weeks. It wouldn't have helped. They would have gone back to their life. And the crisis and the like religious persecution they're under, and then they would have been in that same space again, which is really, for all of us, or a lot of us, where we are at. We like almost step out of reality for a little bit, and then we're like, oh man, I feel so refreshed. And then we go back to our same job with the same struggles. And so there's a scripture, I want to read Matthew 11, 28 to 30. If you can have it, you can put it up. Oh, I didn't realize. And now I don't have it in front of me. If anyone wants to look up Matthew 11, 28. Sorry, Matthew 11, yeah, 28 to 30. Sorry. Do you have it? Go, Robs. This is like Sunday school. Thank you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the Lord's plan. Then, okay, I've got another two scriptures. Psalm 23, verse 3 says, he restores my soul. And then Jeremiah 31, verse 25, it's along the same vein. We don't have to go into it. You can maybe write it down and read it later. But the Lord isn't vague, actually, in his word about what restores our soul. He does tell us. He doesn't say it's a vacation. He does restore our soul. And so I just think the tools that Bryn has given this morning, like we've got to take them with both hands super tight through the holidays, because then there is the ability to step back into normal term time and feel truly refreshed. Okay.
How's it, guys? When Brendan asked me to share on rest, I was like, yeah, I'm like the worst person to ask because I suck at resting. I really, if I think about the past 6 years, I've literally wasted every single holiday with thinking that I'm going to get fulfillment out of, in a sense, not like bad worldly things, but just like movies or games or sport or playing golf. Not that those things are bad, but almost like a thing of what Brendan mentioned, like I can't wait to get there. And then once I'm there, then I can do all the things that I want to do. And actually, after it was done, I actually felt more unrested than rested. And Brendan just mentioned to me, like, just to share something about that happened this year. So what I want to focus on, even while I'm sharing, is just contentment, like finding contentment. And I think the thing that I struggled with was contentment, even in my holiday season. I did believe that if I just did those things, then I'd be rested. And so in a sense, I'm looking to that to find fulfillment and not actually just being in content with what God has given me already, you know. And so even throughout this year, I would say it's probably been the most challenging year of my life. You can ask Uncle Roy and Auntie Yvonne, and you can ask my dad. I think I have shared a little bit with you guys. But just with my new job, it was a lot of stuff I had to take on. Just the thing of my time being taken away from me for the first time, coming from being a student and coaching a little bit to working a full 9-to-5 kind of job and just having a lot less time and being really tired a lot of the time. And so even through that, like the Lord has taught me this lesson, like, you know, even going into December, we can think like we can kind of escape reality. It's like, oh, this is my escape now. But actually what I found that even throughout the year, even through my struggle, it's a fight for my contentment. Like, am I actually content in the Lord? Am I content with what He's given me? And I think the biggest thing was actually accepting. Like, do I accept that this is what the portion that the Lord has given me? And, you know, I can ask Uncle Ron, Auntie Yvonne and my dad, I struggled to submit to God. You know, I was struggling. He was, every time I asked him, I want to quit this job, I want to leave, I want to go here and do this. And he's like, okay, at one point the Lord said to me, go for it, if that's what you want to do. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. So I kind of backtracked, you know. So it's like, I just struggled to submit. And once I submitted to God, that's when I found rest, actually. That's when I found contentment. I think there is a link between contentment and rest. Because when you're content with what you have, you don't need anything else. And you can just rest in what you have. And so there's a beautiful scripture in Hebrews. Sorry, I'm kind of running through this fast because it's two things that I'm sharing here. But it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And even just another scripture to kind of just emphasize that point. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, it says, as for the rich, in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, like prideful, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. And just that thing of like, once I accepted that this is the portion that the Lord has for me throughout this year, even going into the holiday, I need to still have a reality check. Like, I can't just forget, you know, and just think, oh, no, I'm going to escape reality now. I need to accept, like, as I'm going into this time, that the Lord is enough. I don't need anything else, actually. If I think that playing games or watching movies and playing lots of golf is going to fill me up, it's really not. It's actually accepting that, like, if you think about it, we actually don't need to add anything to intimacy. Like, I'm not saying we can't do things and have fun, and that's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, like, for me, what I've learned is I'm not going to live from that. I'm not going to live for that. I'm actually going to find my rest first in the Lord and be content with Him first. Yeah, and I'll just end off with a quote from John Piper, and he says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. So even just for us, when we go into this holiday time, like to think about that, like when we truly are enjoying God, like just enjoying spending time with Him, that's when we'll give Him the most glory, actually, and we'll be the most satisfied.
Because I like to talk. hang on. So when Brennan asked me about sharing on resting, I my first thought was, for me, rest is not lying on the couch, Brennan. for me, it's actually having an inner peace. When my mind is at rest, and I'm not fretting, and I'm not anxious, and I'm not weighed down by the things of this life, then I can feel like I've got rest. And when you're in that place and you're concerned about things, like I can get concerned about all kinds of things. I'll drive past somewhere where it used to be like a field and there was some fynbos and stuff, and now they're just bulldozing it up and they're going to build a big building and cement everything and the rain can't get in, and then I'm like freaking out. You can ask my kids when we're driving, and then I'm like, look what they're doing. Anyway, so things like that can really unsettle me. And then I cannot read the news, and I mean I'm not a big Facebook person, so that saves me, but too much information, too much bad things in the world and stuff. Whenever I'm cooking in that, then I will watch things on land restoration, ocean cleaning up, all the good things, because I just cannot handle all that stuff. So that's kind of stuff that really gets to me. And then even in the beginning of December now, I every year December rolls in. So August, I start planting my seedlings and my seeds and stuff, and I order my stuff from Moorland, and then in the back of my mind thinking, December's coming, January's coming, it's not going to rain. But I'm thinking, oh, maybe it will. And then Leon gets a bonus in May, not in December, so now it's holidays, everybody's at home and we want to do stuff, but there's no extra money. So then there's January, you know? And then I'm like, oh man, how many months is in January? And so now that I would get so anxious, and I could feel, even this year, I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to get like that. But I could feel it starting. And so, and then where it comes out is I get a little ratty and a little irritated with things. And so then I know that's actually the root. So for that, I thought, no, I'm going to cry to God, and I'm going to worship. And then while I'm in the kitchen, I'm very often in the kitchen, then I put on worship music, and it was almost instant that I could find a rest and a peace. It was incredible. It just really is incredible how God can do that. And the same scripture that Calm shared, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He gives the world He gives us a rest that the world cannot give. We can't find the stuff in whether my water tanks are full and I can water my garden during the growing season. That's not where it's at. And then, let me just quickly see here. Yeah, so I can get so, like, in my head, so concerned about the things that I have absolutely no control over. And then Paul tells us in Philippians, you know, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. That one, thanksgiving, you just start when you feel the little grumbling going on in your head and you start giving thanks. It's like it just sort of nullifies it, you know. It is just absolutely incredible. And then just after that, he says, think about these things. Things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. That's like a way of protecting your mind so that in this time that you're focusing on those things. You're not looking at what's happening on Facebook and Instagram and all of those things. You're focusing on things that are good and noble and praiseworthy. Where we now? Yeah. I also find that if I am not taking my thoughts captive and I'm starting to, not in control of my responses to external pressures, then I know, okay, now I'm actually not in the rest that God has for me. So let me just see, yeah. Oh yeah, what is really cool, in Psalm 42, verse 5, and 42, verse 11, and 43, verse 5, then the psalmist got the same thing. He says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, and I will yet praise him." There it is again, the praising God. He is my God and my Savior. So when we praise God, it shifts our focus from our problems to God's character. And it is really an act of faith to do that, because it is a deliberate choice to trust God and not to trust our emotions. So when I almost find when I'm unrest, this is something that's not just December, this is something that happens throughout the year for me to find rest. Because my life doesn't really change much over December. I just got Leon and Carl at home. I just got to feed more people. But so for me, this is like a year-long thing, you know? And the root for me when I find that I have unrest is usually when I'm not trusting God fully in everything that, in all the promises that he has given us. And so, ultimately our praise is because God is worthy. He's worthy no matter what my circumstances are. And in Habakkuk 3, verse 17 to 19, I actually read this like two nights ago, and I thought, wow. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God, my Savior. I mean, if you think about that, that's like having, there's no food in Checkers, ShopRite, Spar, nowhere. But he was still, praise God. And then another little like sort of testimony, but 2 years ago in November, then Andrew Selly came to our last gathering of that year, and he came to that was just after the October 7th event in Israel. And then he came to speak about how we should respond to this. And at the same time, I was doing the T3, I was just watching all their stuff on YouTube about the book of Revelation. So now I'm getting this stuff from Andrew and what he was saying and how he feels like this is really, we're in the end of the end times. And then I'm listening to this stuff in Revelation, and then I started getting really disturbed in my soul, and I'd lost my peace. It was like, felt like there was like this volcano ready to explode, like there was tsunami. It was like, it was just really loud in my head. And I chose, in that place, I chose to cry out to God. And then he reminded me of a specific testimony, which I had heard from my friend Sonia, of this couple. They had adopted a child, could have even been from Essie, but this child was like severely disabled. I'm not exactly sure what all the things are. And they lived in like Mossel Bay area. And the husband had a motorbike accident. So now she's got little kids of her own. And then she's got this child that they adopted that's disabled. And then her husband has this motorbike accident. And he's paralyzed, I think, from the neck down. And so they would come to PE to go to Aurora for his treatment. And whenever Sonia would see her, she would just be praising God. She would be saying about how God has come through for them and how he's done this and that and how he's so close to them. And I was so challenged, eh? I was so challenged by that. But in that, God reminded me in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, and in Hebrews 13, verse 5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So even though we might be in the end of the end times and Christians are going to have a hard time, in that time, he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. You, I've gone over the 5 minutes, eh? I'm almost done. Almost done? Okay. Yeah. So the last thing, here we go. May as well stop that. Rajiv Shalandurai once said, our safety is not determined by the absence of storms, but by the presence of a Savior. And that's where our rest lies, is the presence of our Savior.
It's good that the other guys were spot on time, so so we're still good, we're still good. Isn't it cool that actually, I didn't know, I had a rough idea what the guys were going to share because I asked them to send me a short voice note just summarizing, but it always comes out differently when you're up front. Isn't it cool that actually where Carmen started with that picture of Paul and Silas praising God in spite of being in prison, that a care day wouldn't have helped, is actually where Bridget landed with that story of that couple who were praising God in spite of a husband who's going to rehab, a child that's got its troubles. Like, it's this beautiful thing of beholding God in spite of what's coming. And you can look at it and you go, well, that's a pretty weird thing as I'm about to go on holiday. It doesn't necessarily feel like it's fully linked, but it is. All three of the testimonies was, I need to worship. I need to behold him. Nothing else satisfies. Everything else leads to me coming back, and the problems I went on holiday from are still there. The difficult boss is still there. The workload that feels like it's too much is still there. And so as we go on holiday, you know what? Have bras. Like, enjoy the pool. Like, rest, sleep late, have afternoon naps. They're going to be amazing. Your body has physical needs that holiday is for, but include God. Be intentional about it. If you think that you're accidentally going to fall into spending amazing time with God, I'm sorry to say it doesn't happen. We have an enemy. He doesn't want us to get close to God. And so it's an intentional thing that we need to decide beforehand. And I want to actually end with a scripture that doesn't feel fully related, but it's what I'm feeling. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, and this is the story of Mary and Martha. And it says, as Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing, Christmas Day. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it. The ESV says, Mary has chosen the good portion. And then it goes on to say, and it will not be taken away from her. And so, yes, we've got a big Christmas meal. You might be hosting tons of people. But there's not necessarily these worries that are waiting for you as you go on holiday. But we can busy ourselves. And we can busy ourselves away from God. And I just love that thing of there's one thing to be concerned about. And Mary's discovered it. And so as we go into holiday, there's one thing to be concerned about. Are we going to prioritize God? Are we going to enjoy him? Because do you know what? For me, I want to hit January close to God. I don't want to hit January rested physically, but wrecked in a bad way spiritually. I wanna hit January rested physically, rested spiritually, ready for all that God has for us, because 2026 is going to be amazing. There's salvation that's going to happen. There's breakthrough in your lives. There are victories and challenges and all these amazing things that God wants to do in and through us next year. And so in order to be ready for that, we need to rest well and do well.